So, yang and yin go together. But, through not seeing this, the whole of our life is, as I said, geared to the thought that we might be able to make the yang side win. And so, in every sort of human enterprise, we are trying to have white without black. And this connects with what I was trying to get across this afternoon. When you talk about improving the world, you are meaning, presumably, that you want it more white than black, or whichever one you call the good one. Maybe you think the black is the good. That's all right, makes sense, it makes the slightest difference. No. Which side are you going to take in the game of chess, the black or the white? Doesn't make much difference, except white gets first move. No, I'll always wait to see what you're going to do. We think, could we get rid of the other one? Now, as you know, in all matters of practical living, it never works. You think now, I've been miserable all this time because I haven't had enough money. I never know whether I can make the payments on the car. I never know whether, there's going to be sickness. And if only I had a little more money, I'd really feel great. So you get it. And in the transition from one stage to the other, whoops, you feel very elated. Of course, you feel elated. You're going up. $5,000 a year, say. It makes a difference. When you've gone up, then of course you're on a level again. And no longer do you have to worry about making the payments. But you get a new worry. Supposing I get sick and die of it. Supposing someone robs me, takes it away from me, worry about that. You say, oh, I'd feel so much happier if I had a medical examination. As you go to a fancy doctor, he says, I can't find anything wrong with you. But then always there might be burglars, so you get an alarm system and new locks, and finally you go to the homeless patrol and get a private guard to watch you, and that makes you feel better for a while, except then it begins to nag you. See, if I have that homeless patrolman out there, they'll know I've got something. Maybe I better have two men on the job. So, it grows. You worry. Because you found out that you didn't get yang without yin. You got a new yang, a bigger yang, instead of the former little one you had, but you got a big yin with it. It's no joke getting rich. It implies a great deal of responsibility, and you've got more to worry about. Don't envy rich people. It's a great mistake. Don't envy anyone. So, in the same way, Zhuangzi puts it thus, he's Lao Tzu's successor. People who speak of having good government without its correlative misrule, or right without its correlative wrong, do not understand the basic principles of the universe. One might just as well speak of having yang without yin, and such people must be either knaves or fools. Of course, how would we know we were wise unless there were knaves and fools? But here it is, you see. You cannot beat the game. You can have the temporary illusion of winning. But by compensation, you will ever so often have the temporary illusion of losing. When you go down a step, from yang to yin, you'll feel, I've lost something. When you go up a step from yin to yang, you'll feel I've gained something. How would you know gain without loss? How could you have the sensation of more unless in relation to the sensation less? For sensation is simply awareness of contrast. That's what life is. Now, if we realize that, we get the same feeling of frustration as I wanted to give you this afternoon in trying to make it clear that so far as the improvement of ourselves and of the world is concerned, there's absolutely nothing we can do about it. And this is simply another way of saying the same thing. You cannot have more yang than yin. You cannot play a game which is win and no lose, or a game in which everyone wins. You're stuck with it. Now, in just the same way, if we recognize that, applying yang and yin to all the possible situations of life, we get this awful feeling of, so what's the use? I mean, what do you expect me to do? Jump into the river and drown? Now, wait a minute. Why, at that point, do we get the feeling of, oh, what's the use? Simply because we've found that our favorite game won't work. And we think that is the only thing for which there is any use, is the game in which white must win. But why not change them around? Isn't that a good game? Because you go whine, 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 like this. Goes in and out. It's the undulation of a wave, the crest and the trough. You can go on, every kid likes a roller coaster ride. You go, it's great. So having both is the game. See, it's no game. What we think is the game isn't a game at all. To win all the time, win, 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 that's no game. Because the game is always the hide and seek. Now you see it, now you don't. The game is the story in which the villain might win. And the whole idea of drama is to make it seem to the audience that it is, the villain absolutely must win. There's no way out, and then suddenly, for whom, a secret thing is revealed and the hero wins. Or if you want a good cry, have a tragedy and the villain wins. But don't you see? There is no vitality unless there's that negative element. The villain, the devil, the nothing, the death, the out. You've lost. Finish. Bye-bye. Quit. See, if that's not there, then the other one isn't there. And you're always winning. Supposing you sit at home with your wife and you play cribbage. Lots of married couples try to forget holy deadlock by playing games at night. And if one partner, be it wife or husband, always wins at cribbage, the game ceases to be of interest. Because every good player likes a sprightly opponent who sometimes wins. He wins just a little bit less than me, mind you, but he wins a great deal of the time. Yes, it's okay. It's just a little bit. No. So, if you don't have the unknown, space, death, darkness, negative, you don't have the light. So the art of life consists rather in something else than trying to make white win. You didn't sit down and weep because somebody tells you you can't make white win all the time, forever and always, so that black doesn't exist. Because black, by its very nature, is darkness and it doesn't exist. You're trying to make it not exist. It's irrelevant. The very fact that it doesn't exist is its power. non-existence is the necessary condition for existence. Just like you have to have a front before you can have a back. Or a back before you can have a front. They come into being together. So do existence and non-existence. So what are you afraid of? In trying to get rid of nothing which is already gotten rid of. So we think, But surely this is rather monotonous. It goes up and down, up and down, up and down, seesaw. Life, death, life, death, life, death. Or birth, death, birth, death, birth, death. Isn't there some way of, must we play this game? It's like the game of one-upmanship I showed you earlier this afternoon. You can't get out of it. You're always playing it. And if you say, I won't play it, means I've got a more interesting game than yours. Which is just the same game all over again. Would there be a way somehow to transcend black and white? So we've got black and we've got white. That makes it even. But isn't there something else? Couldn't there be a tertium quid? A new possibility? So we can have a three basis instead of a two basis. And somebody comes up and says, all right, you're black and white, A and B, you constitute the two ends of the base of a triangle, and I'm the apex. How about that? We say, that's odd. Of course it's odd, because the first two were even. When something happens, that's one, and that's odd. See, it's odd that anything should have happened. Very odd, it's queer. Would it have been easier for there to be nothing? But then something happens, and then they say, that's odd. Then they recognize there was something and nothing, and then they said, all right, that's right, we're even. So this third fellow comes along and says, now, what about it? And they say, you're odd. Oh, wait a minute. You stand over against us. So that makes two. We're even, and you're odd. All right, so that makes two out of three. Three equals two. Because we're together, we two. We recognize that we're black and white. You can't have one without the other, so we're together. And you say you want to be different, okay? That makes black and white different from whatever you say you are, so we've got the new yang and yin. You can't get out of it. Make four, and it's the same all over again. Make five, it's the same all over again. This was how Leibniz reasoned. An arithmetic that could represent any number using merely zero and one. Say, damn it. Can't we get out of this? Hey, what would it be if you were allowed 5 minutes with God and you're allowed to ask one question? What do you want to know? Because you know, you thought this over now, you know. About the opposites, about the yang and the yin. And you know you can't ask God and say, hey, Big Daddy, will you give me a tip to beat the game? It won't work. And what shall I ask God? See, here's the thing. Of all the things you might ask for, an electric guitar and $1 million, and you know that wouldn't be the answer, because that would be yang. There'd be a big yin along with it somewhere. I don't know what to ask. So you go in and say, God, beyond positive and negative, what is reality? And God says, my child, your question has no meaning. Oh dear, you thought, there it's gone, my one chance lost. You think, you get a friend of yours and say, hey, look, you go in. And tell me what he says. You ask him, what question should I ask you? He goes in and says, oh God, what question should I ask you? And God says, so you do want a problem. Thank you. Well, you've got one. You thought it up. You wanted a game in which white only wins. There's your problem. You made it up. You had to have that problem. Because otherwise, if you don't have a problem, you wouldn't know you were here. It's like, you can't be yourself without something you call other. How will you know you are you unless somebody else is somebody else altogether? In other words, the sensation of I here, living, sensitive, alive, peeking out, beady-eyed out of my skin, entirely is with reference to something over there, which isn't me. I don't know what it is, but it works all by itself, and this, you're pretty scared of it. And there it is. But I can't have this feeling without that feeling. There's the same hocus-pocus going on here. If I can't feel me without having other, that's exoteric. Esoteric means I am the other. They're inseparable. How can you have self without other? How can there be other without self? You other on me and self on yourself. I self on me and other on you. But you can't, as it says, you can't have one without the other. Yang and yin. So in the same way, I say, well, this other, I'd like to manage it. I'd like to control it. Now, I know all these people around messing up my life. I don't want them to be that much other. I'm going to fix you. Then I get on a power kick. And there are all kinds of power kicks, let me warn you. It's not just politics and economics and business. The worst power kicks are spiritual. Like astrology. You'd like to know the future? Would you really? It's a power kick to know the future so that you can control it. No surprise. If you know the future, it's already past. But if you want to know something and have knowledge, then there must be the unknown. Just as if you want self, you must have other. So the future is always the unknown. The past is the known. And what we witness as our present is the magical appearance of the known from the unknown. You know what's going to happen the next second? I mean, there might be another big earthquake right underneath us. Any minute now. Or the Russians might decide to release the A-bomb. Any minute, you would have a heart attack, drop dead. You don't know what's coming. Well, relax. Watch this thing happen. It's incredible. Just watch it. You, it, self, other, it's this vibration going on. But you think also now, wait a minute, self and other, that means voluntary versus involuntary. What I do and what happens to me. Now, what do? Well, I walk, I think, I talk, I move my hands. I can be nice to you or nasty to you. I would regard both as my doing. But what about my blood circulation? I normally think that that happens to me. I mean, if my heart would stop, I wouldn't say I'd done it. I would have said that it happened to me. But Buddhists will say, your heart stopped, that was your karma. And karma means nothing else except doing. It's your doing that your heart stopped. You know, that doesn't mean, don't take it literally in a superstitious way, that because you spat in someone's face in a past life, you're having heart failure as a punishment for it this time around. The universe is not geared to be a kind of judicial system. I mean, a lot of priests figure it that way in order to frighten people. But karma means simply, if you die in a plane crash or have a heart attack, it's your doing. But that simply means you've got to rethink what you mean by doing. Now, I've already proved to you that black is white. So now I'm going on to prove to you that what you do is what happens to you. And what happens to you is what you do. Because you can't tell the difference between doing You can't tell what you mean by doing unless something happens to you to contrast it with, and vice versa. You can't say of something that happens to you unless it feels different from something you do. Now let's take a look at our breath. Are you doing it, or does it happen to you? If we do breathing exercise, you can feel I'm doing it. Just I'm breathing in just as I might raise my hand. But after a while I breathe out. I feel I'm breathing out. And I can forget all about it, and it goes on. And it happens to me. That's why in yoga, which means, yoga means union, joining, same as the Latin jungere. Why in yoga you breathe? Breathing is the main thing in yoga. Because it's to teach you that there's no difference between what you do and what happens to you. You learn that through breathing. You can make the very best breath. See, we get into Christian terms here. The Holy Spirit, spirit means breath, see? Spiritus in Latin, pneuma in Greek, ruach in Hebrew. Breath. Now, there's ordinary breath, when you know, most people's normal breathing. Or forced breath, when or, you know, when people try to sing and their voice is forced. But then the next breath is called Holy Spirit, holy breath. That's when the breath is no longer forced, it happens. When it's nirvana breath, blow out, same thing as Holy Spirit. And then that, you see, that unforced one. Go on and on. So, that's why when monks chant, or devotees of any kind chant, they have the idea that I am a flute, and the breath, the prana, the spiritus of the divine flows through it. It's what chanting's all about. Make yourself a tube for the divine wind. But that also means realize the unity of the voluntary and the involuntary. That's really what's meant by doing the will of God. Do the will. It's one reason why we get confused in English as to whether we mean will or whether we mean shall. I will drown and no one shall save me. So, think, behind what you call voluntary, you decide. Having reviewed the evidence, I have decided it would be best to buy this brand of detergent. Made a decision. How did you make a decision? Well, I reviewed the evidence, I added up the price, and I came to the conclusion. Yeah, I know all that. But how did you work the machinery? The computer in your head. You know, you pushed all these buttons, but what's underneath the buttons? Oh, I don't know, I never looked. So you see, that involuntary growth called the brain underlies your voluntary decision. Because you, when you decide, you don't first decide to decide and decide to decide to decide. You just decide. But that means there's something else behind it. Well, you think that's terrible, because if what I do happens to me and it isn't really doing at all, then I'm in a fatalistic scene. Yes, but I said, on the other hand, what happens to you is what you do. It works equally that way. You know, you have an earthquake. And the thoughts in your head drift about like clouds in the sky. But it can't do anything. So in the same way, this whole strain, the futility of the strain to make white win and to improve the world, that entire futility, the frustration of it is what you mean by I. Now it goes. It won't work. And the I collapses. Everybody is terrified of this happening. Suddenly finding out that you don't have an ego. Heaven preserve me from that, because I've been building up this personality of mine all these years. I've been very carefully nurtured, this personality. You tell me it doesn't exist? No, because your personality is a phantom even more insubstantial than your body. Personality is a work of art. It's like music, which vanishes as soon as it's played.